الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء، سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق، ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. صدق الله العظيم. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the mentality of those people who, while possessing knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refused to acknowledge the prophethood and message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this particular verse, it's a referral to the Yahud and the Jewish scholars who had acquired sufficient information of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They could identify and recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way they were able to recognize and identify their own children. The way a father can, in a crowd, you know, when it's a sports day and you're looking for your child, so how easily a parent can pinpoint and locate his child. Even more than that, they were able to identify who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So sometimes just having knowledge is not sufficient. Having knowledge with ikhlas, with sincerity, and having knowledge, subjecting oneself and allowing oneself to be submissive to the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that is what is required. Because the scholars of the Bani Israel also had knowledge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their example in the Quran is given in the following way: مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. The example is like that donkey which is carrying a load of books. So the books do exist on its back, but the donkey is unable to benefit from that books. Knowledge that we acquire is not from your information, but the objective of knowledge is amal and practice and propagating it and spreading it. The knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends in the form of wahi and revelation to the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and finally to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the nourishment and the sustenance for the ruh. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human body with two dimensions, one is the physical side, one is the spiritual dimension, the ruh, which is from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same body which is lifeless gets life. And it doesn't have a definition which could be pinpointed or identified. You can't say this is the definition of ruh. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say to Imam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the ruh within a person is from the amr and the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you have a very little knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you are exposed to a very little. So there are these two dimensions. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged for the comfort of the physical body, the physical side of our existence, the vegetation, the livelihood that we have, the air that we breathe, the nourishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And the arrangements are made from the time a baby is born, even before the baby is born. When the baby is born, in the hadith it comes, the shaitan pokes at the child and threatens him. This is the reason why a child cries at the time of birth. And we are told, give adhan, comfort the child, tell the child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provided for you and you in your mother's womb will still provide for you. And then immediately there are two utensils from which the risk of that child has been arranged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the risk of a person of the physical body has been arranged for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will get whatever has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as there is one morsel of food left in the life of a human being, as long as there is one breath of air left, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take what belongs to you. In the khutbah of nikah, normally in the Shafi'i madhab, the imam normally read some words which are very beautiful. They say, لا مقدم لما أخر ولا مؤخر لما قدم وكل شيء عنده بأجل مسمى. There is nothing that needed to be kept back that somebody can put forward if Allah wants it to stay behind. And nobody can keep behind what Allah wants to go forward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated and made arrangements for the body of a human being. Every human being has been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given rizq, and the amount of it differs from person to person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who will acquire how much. No person knows exactly what they will get tomorrow, if they will live tomorrow, where they will die. These are things which are exclusively in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a ruh as well. And this ruh also has a requirement to be sustained and nourished. It also requires nourishment and preservation and protection. And for this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, because the word for revelation in the Quran is also ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, we sent unto you, we revealed unto you رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا Another ruh. So there's two arwah, there's two ruh in existence. One is the ruh in the body of a human being, and one is the ruh, in other words, in the form of spiritual nourishment which Allah sends in the form of revelation to sustain this ruh. So that person who now submits and he allows himself to develop spiritually, he sees what are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to my life, with regards to my wealth, with regards to my family members, with regards to my community. At every stage, each person has got some hukam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever we are. If a person is blessed with wealth, there's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related and attached to that wealth. If a person does not have wealth, then there is also a command of Allah. And many times the difficulty a person experiences in this life, in this dunya, is when the individual loses focus of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed him with, and he starts looking at what Allah tells the other one. So for example, in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ When you need something, if you need to ask, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ And if you need assistance and help, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, do not stretch your hand out and beg or ask favors of people. First turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then yes, you adopt the means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided and which are halal. That's the injunction and the instruction given to the person who doesn't have the apparent means to do what he wants, what he intends doing. Then there's another hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this individual who has got wealth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a person asks you for something, then do not send him empty-handed, even if he's mounted on a horse. Now that seems contradictory, because if he's mounted on a horse, then why would he be asking you for something? Because he seems self-sufficient and is independent, he's got sufficient to sustain and look after an animal, why would he need to ask you for something? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that it's not your duty to worry about whether it is his horse or not his horse, or he borrowed the horse from someone, or can he feed the horse or can't he feed the horse? He's asking you for something. If you can, give him something. If not, give him a good word. If you don't have anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ A good word is better than that type of charity or that favor that you do and you cause harm to the person. You remind him afterwards. Yeah, you see, when you were down, who took you out of the gutters? Who helped you? So, two different injunctions for two different people. So now a man comes to another and he says, you know what, help me on something, man, I need something. So the one who's got the wealth says, hey, don't you know in a hadith it comes, you're not supposed to ask. In a hadith it comes, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ Ask from Allah. So he says, yeah, but don't you know in a hadith it comes, if somebody comes mounted on a horse also, you mustn't refuse, you should help him. So both are looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the other party. So true knowledge and benefit, which is ruhani and spiritual benefit, is when whatever injunction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we see that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability. This particular verse, which was revealed in relation to the behavior of the Yahud and the scholars of the Yahud, One of them said, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, لَمَّا نَزَلَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. The meaning of this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts the believers to give charity in the way of Allah, spend on the poor and assist the needy in their families, amongst in their community. And the description given for this is a description as if a person is giving a loan to Allah. Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, he doesn't need anything. But the description normally used in the Quran to describe the value and the nobility of this action, that a person is, he's taking his own money and he's giving it to a poor person who he knows is deserving and worthy and will use it correctly. And he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's appreciated as if he is lending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something. But Allah doesn't need anything. But this is just a description in the Arabic language to show how it's appreciated and how noble this is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give a person. Because in reality, giving sadaqah, you didn't really benefit only the poor person in the dunya. That is an investment for you in the akhirah. So you're benefiting yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't benefit at all. So the Yahud, when they heard this verse, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قالت اليهود يا محمد افتقر ربك فسأل عباده القرض. Is your Lord so poor that he's asking for loans from his servants? Whereas this was just a means of encouraging the mu'mineen to give sadaqah and to sacrifice their wealth and support those who are less fortunate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse which we recited in the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. But most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the statement of these individuals who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is faqir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a pauper and destitute and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is poor. And they said, وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا, and they said, we are wealthy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the fact, he endorses the nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him that whatever they are saying, and this is the lesson for us, that it's not only today where people will say things against our deen or against our belief. It's the first time, so now the first time the Ummah is experiencing some propaganda or people are talking ill or they're aggressive towards us. It's not the first time. If it was the first time, then we wouldn't have had an example in the history to look and to take our guidance, to navigate ourselves through these moments of difficulty. And this happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the statement of these people. قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرُ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further says, سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. All these statements of theirs will be documented, it will be saved on the day of Qiyamah, it will be shown to them. Besides this, even the other actions that them and their forefathers were guilty of, وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They did things more serious than this. One is that they rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're attributing disrespectful statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, the Yahud, although they don't want to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not want to accept Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, but they claim to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet claiming to worship Allah, they use these types of phrases of disrespect and blaspheming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all these things have been documented. وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And even those very serious crimes that they committed in the past of murdering and executing the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi as-salam was murdered by the Bani Israel, a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Yahya alayhi as-salam was beheaded by the Bani Israel. And this is, like I always say, it's, you know, we can never ever try to comprehend and understand how the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakim, he's all wise. And the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to our pattern of thinking and analyzing things. So when he wanted to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the spider web. When he wanted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make hijrah, he allowed the mushrikeen to surround his house with their swords drawn. Yet he protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him in the Quran when his father Zakariya alayhi salam made dua for a child in his old age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ, that is where he made dua, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child to carry on his legacy of propagating and teaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him the glad tidings of a son, وَسَيِّدًا وَحَصُورًا وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get a son and he will be a nabi also, and he will be a sayyid and a leader. Yet that same sayyid and leader is killed by the Bani Israel. So outwardly in the dunya it seems like, you know, the person lost his life. He was murdered because the ruler of that time wanted him to pass judgment of permissibility of marrying someone that he was not allowed to marry in the Sharia of that time. And this is why he executed Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. The point here is that many times in our life, when we look at the condition of the dunya, when we look at ahwal and certain events that happen, we see a lot of difficulty. And yes, it is, we are instructed in Sharia to show empathy and express our sadness and support in whichever way we can financially. We should support in whichever way we can, sending help in the form of medical assistance, whatever it might be, to Palestine, wherever, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim. But when it's Muslim, because it's like a family, it becomes more difficult for us to witness. But behind the external form of what we see in the dunya, there lies some other reality. You see, many things have got a particular name, it's identified in a particular way, but there's a haqiqah and a reality behind it, which is not visible. You have the money that we have, the paper currency that we have. So a person takes that and he goes to the shop and he purchases something. But it's just paper. Tomorrow, if the government says, no, we're going to change it now because we downgraded by this one and that one, so they're going to change it. So now it's not going to be rands, they'll make it 1 manpara and 2 manparas, it'll be a manpara. So what's going to be the worth of that paper? What's the strength behind it? You see, one is the form that we're seeing outside, but there's some hidden value attached to something which is not visible, it's not tangible, but it's understood that it exists. So similarly, in the life of a human being, there are many things which seem to be, some things seem to be attractive and beautiful, and people are enjoying themselves, and they've got all the bliss and glamour, and they're celebrities. But when you go behind the reality of it, you see people can't sleep, they're taking medication, some people are taking solace from drug abuse, some have got problems with they can't handle being so much in the eyes of people. And etc., etc., we are well aware of all these things. On the other hand, somebody might seem to be in difficulty, but he knows that alhamdulillah, he wakes up in the morning, he knows his conditions come from Allah. Sometimes you see some elderly people who are sick, and when you speak to them, you know, I met a friend. This friend, if you see him, you'll think like he's eccentric, or he's like a person who's detached from the dunya. But he buys and sells things, he's a poor man. And I met him the other day, I told him, Abdul Ghaffar, he lives in Linz. I said, Abdul Ghaffar, how are you doing? He said, Ma'ala, you know what's my age? I said, no, maybe like 64 or 65. He says, no, 24,852 days. So, I said, he's not a scholar. He doesn't teach. And I make salam with this man, and I meet him just and I ask him for dua, because there's something special I see in him, you know. So I told him, so he said it again. He said, this is how many days of my life has passed. How am I going to give hisab to Allah on the day of Qiyamah for all these days? You know, he never ever got married because his mother was very sick. And he had a sickly sister. So he spent his whole life, you know, buying and selling things. But he would never ask anybody for anything. In fact, he's always giving people sweets. And if you know, and he tries to, when he heard the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it comes in a hadith, that when he spent everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after hijrah, all his houses were sold, all his businesses And everything was spent. And he had a sack, he had a shirt of like a sack type of material, like the old potato bags that you used to get, you know, like a sack material. And he didn't have anything to use as buttons, but he used the date seed. In that condition, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving salam to you and to Abu Bakr. And he is asking you to ask Abu Bakr if he is pleased with Allah in this condition. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to weep and he said, Ana an Rabbi radin, ana an Rabbi radin. I am pleased with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this condition. So in this chapter, this friend of mine, when he heard this, he made himself a shirt out of sack. Although he said, I'm not Abu Bakr, but so he will sometimes walk around with, you see a brown bag, and if you look at him, you see, this is always like not 100%. So he didn't get married. And Allah has put it on my tongue, I never told this to anyone ever. So he looked after his mother, passed away eventually, and his sister lived till her late 50s, and he's old now, he's an old man. But he still walks around with his stick and he has his brown bag. You would have seen him. So the house that he was staying in, I used to visit him there sometimes. When his mother passed away, so I thought, okay, now this chap, maybe he'll get married or try to settle down. So he made it waqf for one of the Darul Ulooms. He said, whatever rental comes, we'll go for the students from the different countries that are studying there. He built himself a small room in the back, just one for his bed and a toilet and a small kitchen. He said, this is enough for me and enough. You get people like that today also. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that in this dunya, there are certain things which have an external form, but behind that there's some other reality. There's a reality behind it which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His hikmah and His wisdom, He will show us on the day of Qiyamah the value of certain things and how certain people who might have in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in a well-authenticated hadith, on the day of Qiyamah there will be a person who will be so heavy in the sight of people. In other words, his name will be so big in this dunya, but on the day of Qiyamah he wouldn't even be equal in weight to the wing of a mosquito. In other words, in this dunya he had the wealth and the fame and the physical, whatever he required, he had. But on the day of Qiyamah he wouldn't have the weight even equal to the wing of a mosquito. And some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, this one Sahabi, he might be short and he's small, but he's heavier than Uhud by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's heavier than Mount Uhud. He's so heavy that if you have to put Mount Uhud on one side and you put him, he'll outweigh the mountain by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this dunya, we should not be deceived by the external things that we are seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us iman, and because of this, we need to see beyond the apparent form of any particular thing and see what is the reality. Is the reality something which pleases Allah or displeases Allah? So Fajr in winter is going to be difficult, it's getting cold. That difficulty has got a particular form, but beyond that there is something which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remaining in bed has a particular form of which is attractive and it's comfortable. But beyond that there is something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, That a person who wakes up at night and shaitan tells him, but don't worry, there's still more time, there's still another 15 minutes. And then the angel comes and the angel is waking him up again. And his eyes open up and he thinks, hey, so no. Then shaitan comes on the other side. It's continuously this tussle between haqq and batil and the malaika which I was. Each and every one of us and the shayateen which come and they also try to play their part. And sometimes the person says, okay, just a few more minutes. And then he sleeps until the sun rises. And the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it happens to some people that shaitan urinates in their ears. Therefore they are unable to now respond to the muadzin and they can't get out of the blanket. Yes, maybe outwardly there's no disability. But even a light blanket will be a difficult thing to lift if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give tawfiq. In any case, so back to the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the fact that these people were deceived by the things of the dunya which were apparent to them, rejected this message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, well, most certainly this has been recorded, and the murdering of Anbiya alayhi wa sallam unjustly ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق, and it will be said unto them, enter the blazing punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم, this is because of what you have sent forth. وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد, and most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ظلام. ظلام is the being who without applying the rule of justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress anyone. And the next verse continues about what these Yahud would say against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll continue with that next week, inshallah. And so let's touch on one or two things. We come to the end of Rajab, Sha'ban will start, when half of Sha'ban comes, then already we start closing at the Darul Uloom, so we won't be able to touch on anything. Some of the masail of fasting, if anybody has anything in mind that they wanted to ask, keep it, you can ask now, or next week or whenever, inshallah. If there's something that, most important thing with regards to the fasting of Ramadan is to ensure that we make the niyyah at night. It's called tabiyyatun niyyah, especially in the Shafi'i madhab and the Hanafi madhab as well, to make the niyyah at night, of every night. So it wouldn't be sufficient to make the niyyah on the first night of Ramadan for the fast of the entire month. Yes, it will be noble that you're intending to fast the month of Ramadan, but for the validity of the fast itself, a separate and an individual, independent niyyah is required for every fast. And the time for the niyyah would start from sunset, that was from Maghrib, up to Subh Sadiq. So at any time, just even merely conscientizing oneself among oneself and synchronizing your thoughts. Okay, tomorrow is a fast of Ramadan, I'm fasting tomorrow. Even if you just thought it and you intended it, you know, that's sufficient. And the beauty of our madhab, especially in our community also, many of these things, it's leaving the community, but it has its benefits, and it should be kept intact. You know, after Taraweeh, the Imam would say, "Nawaitu sawm ghadin an adai fardh shaa." That is actually making amal on the madhab. That's not a slums of baykhurufi. You know, they say, "Do you use baykhurufi for me?" And Bosman, it's not a baykhurufi, and it's not just a cultural tradition. It's part of the madhab. And because everybody's in the masjid, so the Imam, he recites out the niyyah, which means, "Nawaitu, I'm intending sawm ghadin, the fast of tomorrow, an adai fardh shahri Ramadan," is specifically identifying what he's doing for the next day. So the person maybe didn't know the details of this mas'ala and the ruling, but he's been practicing it all the time. Now we're not doing it. So many people might not be making niyyah also. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ That the correctness of an action is dependent on the niyyah. This is one difference between the Sawm of Ramadan and any other sunnah fast. So if a person intends a sunnah fast, whether it be the 15th of Sha'ban, or whether it be Monday, Thursday, those types of fasting, it is sunnah to make the niyyah at night. But if a person doesn't, say for example, on a Thursday morning, you wake up and you're feeling energetic and you say, "No, inshallah, I want to fast today," and you didn't have breakfast, then you're allowed to make the niyyah, because it's a nafil fast, you're allowed to make the niyyah even up to zawal, up to midday. You haven't, on condition that you haven't had breakfast, obviously. So if you had breakfast, now you can't say, "No, before zawal, I make the niyyah of fasting." Yes, although the Shafi'i ulama have explained, there is an instance where a person had breakfast and he can still make the niyyah of a nafil fast. Ajib. May Allah bless the ulama. That person who has got a habit of fasting on Monday and Thursday, and on Thursday, for example, he forgot it was Thursday. So when he ate thinking it was another day. So that person, because it is his habit to fast on a Thursday and he forgot it was Thursday, that breakfast is pardoned. Like during the month of Ramadan, if a person is fasting in Ramadan and he forgot, like especially the first 2 days, you know, the first 2 days in Ramadan, now everything is smelling nice and you went and you tasted it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you if it's done unintentionally, obviously. So a person forgot. So based on this hadith of the fard of Ramadan, the jurists have said that if a person has got mudawama and he's continuously fasting the sunnah fast of Monday and Thursday, and it just so happened, he mistakenly, because had he known it was Thursday, he wouldn't have eaten the breakfast. So by mistake he had something to eat, and then he said, "Inshallah, it's Thursday." They say it's allowed for him to make the niyyah on a full fast because that was an unintentional taking of a meal. So the basic difference in niyyah in the of the soma fard and fard, when we say fard of fasting, it's not only the fard of Ramadan. There's another fast which can also be fard. That is the fast of Ramadan which you missed. The qada. Qada is also fard. So if a person missed the fast of Ramadan, then it's not a sign of piety for him to be fasting nafil fast of Monday and Thursday if he's got qada of Ramadan. So a person missed Ramadan, or a woman missed the fast of Ramadan because of her monthly cycle. So after Ramadan, the qada of the fara'id should be, it's fard. So if a sawm is fard and it's missed, the qada of it is also fard. And if a sawm is sunnah, then there's no qada for it because you missed it. If you didn't make the fast of, don't make a qada of a fast that is sunnah. So this is something that we should just keep in mind, inshallah, of the niyyah. Let us try to, I don't know what time Taraweeh finishes here, because every year you've got a different celebrity coming, so I don't know who's going to be. So, were they doing it last year at the end?
Yeah.
Inshallah. So, may Allah make it that it continues, and people make it as they mind our families when you go home, because sometimes the ladies are busy, they're not coming, the children got homework, the schools are still open. So let us remind the children also to make the niyyah at least. And if you forget, at least at the time of suhoor, because that's still the time of the niyyah. Because suhoor is still not fajr time. Your fajr starts at subh salat. So you can still make the niyyah even. And in that way, if a person makes the niyyah and oversleeps and misses the suhoor, the fast will still be valid because he made the niyyah. Okay? So we just do some reciting, inshallah. Thank you.